It's September 21st, 2013. Four men, armed with assault rifles, walk into the upscale Westgate Mall in Nairobi, Kenya. And they start shooting. Security footage from the mall shows people running for their lives or hiding as gunshots ring out. The gunmen can be seen firing at the shoppers and taking some hostages.
Thick smoke continues to billow out of the Westgate shopping mall in Nairobi, where Kenyan security officials have said the siege is coming to an end. At least 62 people have been killed and 175 injured by the Al-Shabaab militant group. It remains unclear how many gunmen and hostages remain inside the Westgate mall.
The attack resulted in the deaths of 71 people, including five Kenyan soldiers and the four gunmen. About 200 people were wounded. According to investigators, the Somali terrorist group, Al-Shabaab, was responsible for the attack.
And then we saw Al-Shabaab with an attack on a mall. And the use of social media and other things really became obvious that this was going to be a major propaganda tool.
Al-Shabaab asserted that this attack against Kenya stemmed from Kenyan military activity in Somalia. The Westgate Mall incident and others were basically acts of reprisal. The terrorist group, though, then turned to the internet. They began to generate a lot of propaganda online. These Hollywood-style videos and social media campaigns became their go-to method of getting more attention for their attacks and to grow their ranks.
Like, this was not just something for, like, sharing information. The way Al-Shabaab was engaging online, the way in other attacks, you were starting to see like live tweeting. And then all of this really got me interested. Like, hey, wait, I think there's like actual social change and other stuff we can do.
This is Cloak and Dagger, a podcast about OSINT, technology, and global conflict. I'm MJ Benias. Podcast is powered by Sapper Labs Group. For more, visit www.sapperlabs.com.
I'm Justin Seitz. I'm the Chief Innovation Officer at Sapper Labs Group, based out of Ottawa, Ontario, Fredericton, and Saskatoon. You might know me usually as the lead for the team at Dark River Systems that made Hunchly.
Hunchly. If you do open source investigations, you've probably heard of it. The attack on the mall in Nairobi sparked something, and the Hunchly team saw it all unfold. In a world where terrorist groups no longer hide in the shadows, to be spoken of only in whispers, they now had marketing people. They were making content, writing blogs, posting on Insta and Facebook and Twitter. Suddenly, Hunchly became more important than ever. What is Hunchly?
Fundamentally, Hunchly is a tool that just simply follows you around when you're investigating and preserves everything you do in your web browser. That's it. That's its core function. Just preserve everything that you're doing as an investigator, a journalist, a cybersecurity researcher, human rights person. Just preserve everything. That is the biggest, toughest thing up front. And even preservation is very hard. That's the main thing that Hunchly does.
So basically, whenever you visit a web page, Hunchly will grab the entire web page and store it for you. So even if that page disappears off the internet, you have a complete version of it stored, from images to the text to the URL to timestamps. It even has hashes of every page you visit, allowing it to be used in court if needed. It creates this transparent audit trail of an investigation. Honestly, this is some pretty cool tech. Like, even high-level intrigue-type tech.
So I came from the hacking world before this, so spent a lot of time breaking into stuff.
Yeah. This tracks.
And the big thing for me was I really enjoyed the open source intelligence piece more and more. So when we'd be doing engagements where we would have, say, a bank we were going to call a help desk and try to get passwords or break in via social engineering, we would go out and do all this intelligence gathering on you know, the financial planners and other people that were working there, try to build the best kind of like approaches. And I was like, this is really fun, actually, this like automating this intel gathering and like doing this neat stuff. And at the time too, we were seeing like Elliot Higgins at the time, it wasn't Bellingcat, it was Brown Moses. And other people just using like geolocation and just doing this crazy stuff. And then we saw Al-Shabaab with an attack on a mall. And the use of social media and other things really became obvious that this was going to be a major propaganda tool. Like, this was not just something for like sharing information. The way Al-Shabaab was engaging online, the way in other attacks, you were starting to see like live tweeting. And then all of this really got me interested, like, hey, wait, I think there's like actual social change and other stuff we can do. So in 2015, my partner and I, my wife, Claire, a business partner, we started a company to focus on this. And that company was actually started with the assistance of Sapper Labs. To bring things somewhat full circle, the CTO, Sean Covell, at the time, and I had been doing a lot of work in the open source intelligence space. And we wanted to kind of build a tool that prevented me from shooting myself in the foot, which is exactly where Hunchly came from. I shot myself in the foot and didn't preserve some good materials on folks that were up to no good in some extremist spaces here in Canada. And that was like, for me, as someone I thought was pretty good at my job, it was a pretty embarrassing moment, pretty shitty moment. So I built the tool. Sean and Sapper Labs did a lot of work to help give me like contract work that I could actually use to help fund the development. And they were our first customers. They helped drive requirements, all of that stuff. And then that was it. You know, we kind of put it out in the world at Dark River and went to town with it and just started listening to customers, started listening to investigators and having discussions. And I literally just hung up from one of those discussions before joining you, still having those talks.
I remember when I first started doing some investigative work for Vice, one of the producers on a documentary I was working on, she said, "You should get Hunchly." That was a while ago, and now I'm sitting here talking with the guy who invented it. It's a weird moment for me. I decided to look into it, and I bought a license just to see how it helped, and obviously I use it all the time now. I mean, did you think when you first formed Hunchly that it would become this literally integral part of open source investigations, as well as just general intelligence gathering? Like, did you think Hunchly would become the household kind of go-to brand in this field?
Oh, absolutely not. No. I mean, I think when Hunchly was first built, it was just for me. There was no dashboard. There was no nothing. It just like would automatically capture stuff and dump it into a folder. It would like just absolutely, that's it. It wouldn't even tell you where it came from. Nothing. It was just horrifying. But the thing was, is that I was working, doing consulting work at the time, lots of it, all kinds of casework. And I always seemed to have materials that no one else did when it came to report writing time. And then a couple of my friends, like good friends of Dan and actually Sean and a few others, they were like, "How do you always manage to have that stuff?" I'm like, "Oh, I shot myself in the foot, built this stupid little tool just to like dump this stuff out because I forget all the time. I don't like, I'm bad at remembering to take screenshots." And they're like, "Well, where do I download it?" I'm like, "Oh, no. It's like Python scripts and a bunch of JavaScript and like a Chrome extension." They're like, "Can you put it on my computer?" So no shitting you. Like Hunchly 0.1 was like me on GoToMeeting, remote desktop, installing Python and this Chrome extension for people and like getting it running. And then they would use it and it would just literally fill your hard drive, but they still found it super useful. So then I was like, "Well, wait a second. Now it's like 3 or 4 people who have asked me this." So then I just started calling in. Like before I started writing code, truly, I just called and emailed all of my colleagues and friends and started talking about the problem. And this is really what we do at Sapper all the time, is we have a lot of talking about, is this a problem? Is this a problem for you? is it a problem for other investigators? And then you zoom out and go, is this a problem for all investigations? But it did not start that way. It was just literally, and I think this is the beautiful thing with how we build products and products you'll see in the future from us, we're our first customer.
From a legal perspective, Hunchley seems to fit the bill according to various laws that govern data collection and how it's usable in court. So from an analyst perspective or from a journalist perspective or from an investigator's perspective, a lot of the data that you might collect might need to be looked at in a legal case. How does Hunchley, like why does Hunchley succeed at preserving data so that it can be used in those cases?
Great question. I just had this discussion actually, again, just before I joined you today. The amazing thing with Hunchley is that it produces court-ready materials and is used in courts in over 79 countries, and it does that by default. So when we built Hunchley from the ground up, because on our team, we have a very experienced forensic expert, Rock DeCoste. And I talked to Rock about what are the key critical things as a court expert witness, as a forensic expert, that need to be here, right? And so making sure that we have date and time, you know, these small little pieces of information, a hash, those are the critical things. Now, the great thing is before we ever really like had a big commercial release, I was running this through every police officer I knew because I knew police officers had the toughest evidence requirements, right? Like everything they do has to be buttoned down. And they again conferred and confirmed on like, this is the stuff you need. So great thing is when you're out working with Hunchley and you're a journalist working for say the Wall Street Journal or something, every page you collect's court ready by default. You're not doing court related work, but everything you do is court ready. So the idea is to make it so that regardless of user, regardless of background, desire, need, whatever, everything you do, if that ever turns up in court or there's for some reason a lawsuit or a story or a defamation thing or whatever, you are covered. Whatever you did is you're able to produce that as evidence. And that is a really, really powerful thing to have by default. And so we put a lot of focus and a lot of effort into when a Hunchley user picks our tool up, they can do their work in minutes, zero training, right? And even for my training sessions, it takes about 3 minutes. That's roughly it to do the core stuff you need to know with Hunchley. And that's powerful for an investigator because we are inundated with difficult to use software, horrifying toolbars and ribbons. Many of us are neurodivergent, right? So I'm ADHD and have other cognitive impairments. So that means that when I use a tool, I can get overwhelmed very easily, right? So someone who has no problem looking at millions of rows of data, an overwhelming user interface, it will absolutely kill my workflow. It'll just absolutely stop me dead in my tracks. So the big thing for us is simplicity and accessibility. And simplicity and accessibility drive security. They drive everything else. If the tool's easy to understand, it means your evidence is easy to explain in court. It means that you know how to use it. You're not confused. You're not going to do stuff that might kick off some automation that has undesired consequences, right? And for us is making sure that every user feels included, like we haven't left somebody out, you know, that we're really thinking about what is it like to use our tool as a colorblind person? What is it like to use our tool with motor impairments, where you're not able to use fine motor skills as well? And that's an issue for me with mice. But I can play guitar and other stuff fine. So like we spend an incredible amount of time thinking about the human sitting behind the desk using our stuff. That is the big leg up for us. And that's why people keep coming back and why they like us is because we actually genuinely care about the human that's doing the work, not just the work.
Right. I mean, when I do any kind of research or investigation, Hunchley is one of those passive tools. Like you just set it and forget it. Oh God, that's cliche. The point is that there are tons of tools out there in the OSINT field. Like, tons of them. Too many, to be honest. And listen, some are great, but not many can boast like Hunchley, that their tool is pretty much universal. Remember the mall attack at the top of this episode? Well, as Al-Shabaab would post propaganda about it online, and as trust and safety folks would scramble to take it down off of various social media platforms, investigators would get to it first, creating this permanent log of it using Hunchley, a permanent record.
We're always using it long before other people do because we have operational needs. And when I was doing heavy consulting work, I had an operational need that I needed to solve. And so for us at Sapper, it's the same thing. When we have an operational need, we build something. If that need is like vast, then we build something that supports that. And then if we determine that lots of people need this, that's when we engage our professional product team to start actually building it into a product, which is a completely different process. So Sapper Labs and Hunchley have actually been married for a long time. Most people didn't know that. Sapper Labs was quietly working away on force protection and securing networks for Canadian customers. And I was busy out in the public running around like the barbarian baboon that I am. And so we worked together every year from about 2011 and 12 to present. Every single year, our two companies, our people were working together. And so by merging, it was kind of almost like making something that was, it was like we'd eloped and now we just needed to do the wedding, you know? But the other thing that really brings it forward is, number one, we have a CEO who is probably the only person on earth that I would have actually stepped in under and followed, right? We have an incredible leadership team underneath Al Dillon and Sean Covell and Rock DeCoste. They are incredible.
So, I mean, Sapper was actually formed at its foundation around, when I think of Sean Covell and Rock DeCoste and you know, the guys coming together, just good people wanted to do the right thing. And when you look at Dark River Systems and Justin and his team, it's really about more good people wanting to do the right thing out there.
This is Al Dillon, the CEO of Sapper Labs Group. We'll hear more from him a little later.
I am able to focus on exactly this. I am able to focus on our customers, our problems, how to build solutions, and spend a lot more time building up a team for Hunchley, which was what we've done. We entered into this with four total people, and now there are, I think, nine. And that's just the Hunchley team. We have another product coming because we as investigators aren't done solving problems with software, right? There are other things like managed attribution, you know, virtual desktops, investigative spaces, integrations. And these are the things that we were just too small and too lean and mean at Hunchley to be able to take on and take a bite at. And now we can. We have a whole team built up around doing this. We have amazing people like you, who started out as a friend and colleague, and actually interviewing me from somewhere else at one point. And we're able to bring in amazing people like you and other people on our team that are journalists, scientists. Our team is very diverse now. We also have an intelligence team, a full-on intelligence team that's working every day with receiving intelligence questions, doing the work. This drives so much product knowledge, so much in-house product feedback. All of our team uses Hunchley. This whole thing, if it wouldn't have made sense, we wouldn't have done it. And it makes so much sense, and we are so excited. We have a new Hunchley coming, a completely re-engineered Hunchley coming in 2024, 2025. That is really us after 8 years of listening. We heard you. We know what you need for collaboration. We know what you need for documentation, all those things. And our team is working hard on that. So this is a doubling down on Hunchley. You're going to see in the near future, not only that, but doubling down on our free tools like our dark web report. Stay tuned for that because our new free dark web report is going to blow the old one out of the water. And you're going to be able to hook Multigo and your seams up to it for free. So what we want to really tell people is like all the cool stuff we were doing before, we were doing it with Sapper, and Sapper wants to do 10 times more of it. We're not interested in some crazy rocket ship thing. We all intend to stick around at this company for 20 or 30 years and have fun. and enjoy it and hopefully produce a bunch of really great content and a bunch of great software. And I'm looking forward to also seeing more folks coming in and talking to us about intelligence work, because that's something we're just too small for me to be able to do a lot of at Hunchly. So this has all just been fantastic. I mean, I'm excited beyond all repair every day.
Justin in the interview talks about the value of Hunchly and then Sapper's acquisition of Hunchly. Can we expand upon that? Does it make sense that Hunchly and Sapper are now really closely connected, kind of under the same umbrella, versus being two separate entities, even though they've always kind of been connected?
Yeah, I think from the outset, it's kind of a fait accompli. It was like two operational groups focused on a common challenge. And in fact, although, even the breadth of that challenge range from everything from doing right in the world around NGOs and other types of investigations, et cetera, that were happening in commercial spaces, the same challenge exists when you think of all the great things that happen in national defense and the national security agenda that are actually not focused on what we might think as traditional national security roles. In fact, most of what we do in the department and where Sapper came from was around doing good or, support to international operations that are actually not in the defense domain, but they're more in the context of supporting populations in crises or individuals in crises. And my name's Al Dillon. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Sapper Labs Group. And Sapper Labs is a cyber defense and intelligence company focused on national security and probably more importantly than anything, doing what's good. Doing the right thing on the planet around the leverage of open source intelligence and, helping investigators do a better job at pursuing the criminals and the bad actors in the world. So the tool sets and capabilities that the people needed on both sides of that equation as we were looking forward just fit like a glove and made sense. And the talent pool that actually understands how to conduct those operations or is actually building tools around those operations are very limited, in fact, in the world. So the marriage was just the right thing to do. When you look back and you think of the great people that are sitting on all sides of the equation, and I get to be the conductor of masters in this game, and that's really my role. My days of keyboarding and actually doing the job are long over, and my job is to make sure that I'm supporting those, very capable individuals that now sit as one, as a unit inside of Sapper Labs, trying to do a force for good in the world, are actually supported. That's my job. And we've got collectively a tremendous vision, something more powerful than just Sapper Labs would have done on its own or Dark River would have done on its own with Hunchly. I think the combination was just almost from the outset meant to happen, and very, very happy to see it come through and happy to have Justin and the team at Dark River join the Sapper Labs family, right? So the future agenda is critical in this context because it really is about enhancing, leveraging the automation and the other capabilities that are out there in the market right now to scale against a data set that's ever increasing and a complex adversary and or actors in the context of the criminal or otherwise activity that they're doing out there. One of our great opportunities is to continue that investment, and we have done right from the outset when we first got together in the Sapper family, support Hunchly's iterations and the new versions that are coming out in Hunchly, the new tool sets that support Hunchly, the ability to operate leveraging tools like Hunchly in the cloud and in a clandestine or covert way to enable and secure the actual investigator is also a very significant investment that we're making. And then, of course, we're moving to leverage and scale the operational community with a broader set of tools and capabilities that are actually integrated in a context of, not to be the panacea, because I don't believe that that's ever the case with the ever-evolving technology and the platform challenges, just the evolution of technology and the uses of that technology. When I think of AI and natural language processing and all the other things that could come to bear to help an operator, there are definite challenges in that, you know, the hallucinations and the limitations of the technology that are out there, but also opportunity. And, you know, with that, we're going to see the evolution and continued investment around our tool sets for the operational community balloon and enhance over the year ahead and in fact in the years ahead. And we are set now to do that, and we are executing a plan to realize those enhancements and changes and growth in the business, specifically starting with Hutchley as a core baseline in the product set, because it's just the right thing to do. It's where you begin, is in the collections and the proper collection and support around you know, the structure of the core data in a way that can be used as evidence, and then all the other things that we can do to enhance an operations operator's life is exactly where we're focused.
It made so much sense. This was not a transaction where we had a hedge fund come in and buy us or something. It was really like people that were tired of working outside of the same house together and decided let's do what we always wanted to do, and are completely aligned on human rights and completely aligned on ethics and data privacy and all those things, which is a big scary thing, because I know as a OSINT customer myself, whenever one of my tools gets acquired by a new company, the question that comes to my mind right away is it still safe to run this code on my computer? Right. So I am here to tell you it's the same Justin, same core team at Hunchley, still there, is much bigger now. And we have a whole bunch of other amazing kick-ass people at Sapper that I'm really excited for everybody to meet.
I can attest to that. It's a good group. So good, in fact, that they help pay for podcasts like this one. For more information, you should visit www.sapperlabs.com. For more OSINT content, you can visit www.cloakanddagger.blog. You can also follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn. The links are also in the show notes for your convenience. Last but not least, if you like this show, please go out and tell your friends. Rate and review it. Subscribe to it wherever fine podcasts are traded. I want to thank you for listening. I'm MJ Benias. Good hunting.